We're very thankful tonight for each one that's here and had a, I know we don't normally do this on Wednesday nights, but I know we canceled Sunday and I felt like the Lord inspired me to just announce and to have just more of a regular preaching service tonight. This is a message that the Lord had given me, a number of weeks ago. I hadn't preached it, but the Lord had inspired me with it. I felt like the Lord would have us to share it tonight. If you will turn with me over to Luke in the 12th chapter, written the question on the board that says, who shall those things be? Over in Luke chapter 12, we'll begin reading verse 1. Said, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all, and then Jesus began to teach. Want us to take note first of all that it said that there was an innumerable multitude of people. I know a lot of times we think about the 12 disciples following Christ and we think about just the 120 of the upper room. But we can't forget, remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women and children? Remember at times it said that the multitude was so great, the press was great, that people almost had to push and shove to get to Christ? The word multitude in the Greek means 10,000. Okay, so this says that there was an innumerable multitude. So multitudes might be 20,000. Now, it also means a great number of people. So the scripture here is not necessarily saying there were 10 or 20,000 people, but I can tell you based on the wording, there were a lot more than hundreds. Because it said that the multitude, which normally represented 10,000, was so great that they were treading on one another. It wasn't just a real organized group of folks. So imagine hundreds, if not thousands of people around Christ, just like when they followed him out into the wilderness. There were thousands of people that followed him. And this is one of the reasons on one occasion we find that Christ stepped into the boat and he pushed away from shore, probably because when you're in a crowd like that, it's really easy for people to start pressing in on you. And you're wanting a little bit of space, a little bit of room to be able to project. I've been in some situations before, one of them just recently in Pakistan, where the people were literally pushing and pressing in on you to the point that finally you had to do something to clear the people out. And we tried to make a border and we put down bags of flour and told them, stay on that side. But there are things that Jesus was filling the press here. Thousands of people probably. And so he began to say to his disciples first. He was teaching his disciples, but there were many people that were listening to what he had to say. And he went on and he began to warn against the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He began to talk about self-righteousness. He went on to talk about the care that God had for us. He said that's where the very hairs of your head are numbered. He went through and talked about if you deny me, my Father's going to deny you. Just working down through that 12th chapter of Luke. And so he's talking about some very important spiritual lessons. And then in verse 13 it says, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now, where did that come from? Because Jesus was teaching. He was trying to teach some very deep spiritual lessons. Then out of the multitude, and I don't know if it was someone close to him or out of the back, but they probably interrupted and said, Master, what? Can you please tell my brother to split the inheritance with me? Have you ever heard a question like that before? If you have, all I can say is I'm sorry. Because it's a tough place to be. But he came to the Lord and he said, in other words, Master, I think if you can tell my brother what to do. Do you know that Jesus, one more time in this occasion, proved that he did not come to legislate amongst people? He did not come. He didn't say, yes, tell your brother to come here and we're going to get this thing figured out. We're going to resolve the problem. Not what Jesus did. Well, because see, the reality is this. Jesus went on and he said, man, who has made me a judge or a divider over you? It's just like when the Pharisees brought the adulterous woman to Christ and said, the law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? In other words, they were tempting Jesus, but Jesus proved again, I am not here as a magistrate. I am not here to enforce the law. I am come to teach the holiness of God and to show you a way of holiness that will bring you into relationship with God. Well, Jesus, because the reality is this, when he said, would you speak to my brother, it was almost as if he thought there was an injustice being done or he wanted some of his brother's inheritance. But the law of the Jews was that the eldest brother would get two parts of the inheritance, whereas the other sons would get one part. So let me give you an example. If there were three sons in the family, and daughters didn't count until the sons weren't available or died or something like that. They didn't get the inheritance normally. There were some provisions in the law. But normally speaking, at this time, if there were three sons, the inheritance would be divided up into four parts. And then the eldest son would get two of them, and each of the other two sons would get one part. So it's possible that he was kind of feeling like this was an injustice or something. And he thought Jesus had the authority to tell him. Now, we find that frequently Jesus did not intervene in affairs like this to deal directly with it. As far as saying, bring your brother and we're going to reconcile this thing. But Jesus did something else. Jesus said unto them, he stopped what he was teaching. And he was not going to serve as a magistrate, but this is what he did do. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Jesus did address the subject. Jesus was addressing what this man wanted him to do. Jesus was not going to serve as a magistrate, but Jesus did not hold back from addressing the man's heart and the root of what was causing him to ask that question. And he said, beware of covetousness. The essence, the subject of the message the Lord gave me is on covetousness. And we're going to get to that question in a little bit. I want to encourage us tonight to beware of covetousness. Covetousness by definition, and our normal definition that comes to mind normally when we speak of covetousness, is a desire or wanting what someone else has. If you get a nice car, I just don't want any car. I want your car. Have you ever noticed that covetousness is part of the sinful nature of people? All you have to do is watch two little children play together. And you will notice that, I've seen it many times, a child will, there can be a bunch of toys on the floor. And a child will go pick up a toy, and another little child will say, I want that, and start throwing a fit because they want that toy. When there's a lot of other toys to choose from, but when they see someone else has something, they want that. That is covetousness. One definition. But I also think it's noteworthy when you give that toy to that child. And parents, you shouldn't give in to covetousness with your children. It's a good time to teach them a lesson. And that's why it's good to have interaction between children, because these things start coming out. And there's no way you can raise your children such that they won't come out. But that's our job as parents, is to begin to teach them the right way to handle these situations. But it's noteworthy in light of covetousness when you go and maybe that child ends up getting a toy, and then the child that loses it goes and picks up something else. And the child that was so unhappy, they got what they wanted, and now the other child gets a different toy. Now they want that one. In other words, they're not satisfied because I want what you have. That's a prime example of covetousness. And we can kind of smile when we see it in children. But do you know that adults can have that too? It can come not only with material things. And unfortunately, folks, too many times people exhibit covetousness when it comes to dividing up inheritances. This was the root problem of this man. Jesus was not addressing the brother. He was not addressing the law, but he said, you be careful of covetousness because probably the man was coveting what his brother had. I knew a man one time that he, after his father died, this was someone in Kenya, and they were going to divide the inheritance, and one of the older brothers just tried to start kind of taking all of it for himself. And the brother who had a walk with God just let it go. He said, I'm not going to fight about it. If he went without a plot of land, he had nothing to grow his land on because his older brother came along and just kind of took it all over and he was left without. Now, do you know what? I admire that. How much are we willing to sacrifice for the cause of peace rather than getting even what we might say, this is my fair share? And I'm not saying there's not a place for discussion, and I'm not saying, but I'm going to say, as Christ said, beware of covetousness. Because the scripture says that the love of money is what? It's the root of all evil. And it's not money because we need money to operate. And there is a place to sit down and discuss, and there is a place to evenly divide. But you know, even with children, let's just use them again for an example. If you go and you have a piece of pie or cookies, and one cookie's bigger than the others, do you know normally which cookie children will go for? The bigger one. What cookie will adults go for? Now, maybe that's a different discussion. But do you realize there's something instinctive without Christ? There is something that wants to go for the bigger and the better because I want it. And I know I've shared this example before, but I have seen adults act this way, that if we said we have a gift to give to someone, we're just going to randomly choose one person and we're going to give $1,000 tonight. Do you know there might be someone that, so we give it, Kara, you got the $1,000. There might be someone that says that's not fair. You came in without it and you're going to leave without it. What's not fair about it? Someone else was blessed. You didn't earn that. You didn't win it. You didn't deserve it. That was a gift that Kara got. And there are some people that would rather no one get it than me not get it. Isn't that human nature? I would rather, if I can't get the $1,000, I'm going to leave the chapel with an attitude and just a little resentful at Kara because she got it, and that's just not fair. And I'm going to leave with a bad attitude. What causes that? It's covetousness, isn't it? Jesus said, rejoice with those that rejoice. And when his brother came in, the brother said, Lord, tell him to split the inheritance. Something's not fair. Jesus said, wait, hold on a minute. I'm not going to deal with your brother, but I will deal with you. Beware of covetousness. Well, and I'm not going to take a lot of time to touch on it this evening, but I would have us take note that Jesus was not the only one that dealt specifically with the spiritual needs of the people that he was teaching. In our culture, and in our society, and I'm going to say in the Church of God to a large extent, we do not believe in man rule. I don't believe in man rule. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And there are some things that it doesn't matter what minister says it, people are not going to listen. And it's going to take the Holy Ghost to get to them. But there is an aspect that we also want to be scripturally aware of. That there is a place that God has placed the ministers to warn when there is danger of something, to warn when the wolf comes in, to warn when the enemy is coming in and there is a danger. And many times people say, well, now you're preaching by observation. Did not the scripture call the ministers to be watchmen on the wall? Because when I was a young person, I remember there was one or two that I used to always hear, don't preach by observation, don't preach by observation. But the older I get and I say, well, what is the call of God to a Holy Ghost-filled minister? It is when you see the enemy coming in, you warn. And the reality is that most people don't like it. But those that have a heart to serve God will take heed to the warning. And it's not based on opinion. It's not based on personal preference. We're talking about warnings from the Word of God. There's, be careful of covetousness. If someone came and said, Brother Michael, we've got a problem between two of us. Can you sit down and talk about it? What would you think if I turned to you and said, beware of covetousness? You say, but I came to you to talk about them. What do you tell me that for? Do you know there's something that I believe we look at Paul when he called out Ananias and Sapphira? We look at the letters that were written that we use was our Bible. A lot of these were letters that were written to congregations. Read through 1 Corinthians. He was addressing problem after problem almost from the beginning to the end of 1 Corinthians. He was saying, you know what, you all in the Lord's Supper, you're getting together having a big feast. That's not what this is about. This should be a solemn thing, and there's some partiality going on in this too. There were those that were exalting the speaking in foreign languages, the speaking in tongues. It was foreign language. He said, wait, this thing's getting out of control. You need to pray that you can prophesy and speak so people can understand you, not to get up and say, oh, I can say some words in Swahili, and I feel pretty good about it, no one understands me. But he said, wait, this is disorderly. That was in a city that was full of people from all different countries and nations in Corinth. And so we find that in the scripture that the ministry dealt specifically with issues that were at work in those congregations. And it's a sad thing to see ministers that have taken advantage of that through the years and exalted themselves in a position that they did not hold, but only the Holy Ghost filled that place, to deal specifically with some things. But it is also the responsibility of the ministry when there is a problem, whether it be nationally or in a local congregation, for a pastor to bring out publicly a warning against something that is taking place in the congregation or in a large extent that is affecting the body of saints. So it's just something that's kind of a side note that Jesus, as well as the apostles and the disciples and most of the written word that we have, it was addressing, it was teaching, but other aspects were dealing with a problem. So when Jesus addressed this and he said, beware of covetousness, I think that's still a good lesson for us. Now, let me clarify this. I don't see this as a pressing problem. I'm not preaching this because I thought there's a problem in the congregation we need to deal with. Can we clarify that? This was an adjunct lesson to this message. So he came and he began to deal with the issue of covetousness. Covetous is not just wanting what someone else has. Covetousness also, by definition, has to do with a desire for something that maybe is not really necessary that I want, and I put undue time and attention and affection to try to get that thing. So that means that the lawful things of life, we need money, don't we? We need a place to live. In our country, it's very difficult to get around without a car to drive. There is a place for those things. But do you know what we also need to be aware of? To be aware of covetousness. To be aware that maybe if you get something nice, it's like, oh, I want that one. No, that's fine. I'm happy for you. But you know, I want one too. I want something also. Do you realize that the Soviet Union fell to a large extent because of the buildup of military and they started spending what they didn't have? And the U.S. outspent them, and that is one of the things that caused the Soviet Union ended up breaking apart. It's because we outspent them militarily. Well, if you do it, we're going to do it. And then we did. It was just a back and forth between those two countries. Folks, let's not outspend our budget. Let's not outspend and cause a desire for things that really we could do without to get us into a problem financially that will affect us spiritually. Anybody here ever had any financial stresses? I have. We all, most of us have, right? Do you realize that financial stresses can affect relationships in the home? It can affect your relationship with God. So don't you think that we ought to be aware of covetousness? It's like, you know what? I can do without it. I don't want to buy it on credit because, you know what? There's always tomorrow if I can afford it. But I don't want to have such a desire for the things of this world that it's going to get me in trouble with my soul, with God, and get me in trouble with the things that are more important than the things of this life, and that is relationships with people. How many families have been broken apart because of covetousness? How many brothers and sisters have been divided because there was a quarrel about who got what when mom and dad died? How many quarrels have there been in families? And then we have to stop and take a step back and say, is it worth it? Is it really worth it? Is a few extra dollars or even $1 million, is it really worth me losing a relationship? Is it worth me losing out with God? We need to beware of covetousness because it's that inordinate desire that will drive us. And it's part of the problem in our world today is people are being driven to attain the things of this world and God's being put on the back burner. And it's not that they're saying, well, I don't want to serve God. There are people that have a desire to serve God, but I'll tell you what, they're serving the things of this world before they're serving God. And Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Do you know that that is covetousness? And I think sometimes we have not defined it as clearly as the Scripture defines it. Scripture in Ephesians 5:3 says, but fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. And it goes on to say, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And it says also, if you read on down in the book of Ephesians, it says that covetousness is as idolatry. You know what idolatry is? It's worshiping something. Idolatry is when you're worshiping something or your heart has gone out to something that God wants to fill that place in your life. I don't see a lot of people with a lot of knowledge of truth bowing down to a golden calf. But I've seen a lot of people that have knowledge of truth bowing down to the almighty green dollar. And God is being put on the back burner. I have to go here and I have to do this and pretty soon there's no time for worship. There's no time to pray in the mornings. There's no time to fellowship with God's people because I'm providing a living for my family. But what we're doing is making that an idol. Letting lawful things of life fill a place in our life that God wants to be preeminent in. So this is why Jesus said, beware of covetousness because it's like idolatry. Because you are giving yourself fully to something. And I want to fill that place in your life. So Lord, help us. I would like to just remind us tonight that our life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. Do you know what's going to really matter? Is relationships. There's a lot of rich people that have been covetousness and they get old and they are lonely people because they let their desire for the things of this world take their time. It might not be an issue of bickering over money. It might be that I don't have time to spend with my wife because I'm out trying to gain something else and my wife gets lonely at home. And pretty soon my children say, well, Dad doesn't ever have any time for us because what is he doing? He put priority on other things instead of relationship. Isn't this where we live? Isn't this the world that we live in? And if we want to be spiritual tonight and have God bless our life, Lord, help us to beware of covetousness. That I will place priority on that which is meaningful. and that is family. Now, family can become idolatry too, can't it? Well, Sunday after Sunday, well, I'm just spending time with my family, so I never go to church. You ever heard that one? Unfortunately, probably most of us have. I'm spending time with family because I haven't had time with my family, and then they never come to service, and then what you're doing is you're putting your family above God. So that means there needs to be some rearrangement of priorities so you could spend time with your family at church. What better place for husbands and wives to spend time together than in the worship of the Lord together? I mean, is this right? What better place to bring our children? What better place? But when we don't, we want to remember what Jesus said. It's beware of covetousness because you're seeking other things and I'm getting pushed to the back. And so Jesus illustrated, and we're not going to spend a long time, but I would like to as we conclude this morning, Jesus told a parable. See, I'm rarely preach here at night. Jesus spoke a parable and said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Take note that Jesus told this parable on the tail end of him saying, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he told him the story of the rich man. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Is there anything wrong with building a bigger barn? I'm not a farmer, so I've never even had to build a barn, so I would do a great disservice to say something's wrong with building a bigger barn. There's nothing wrong with building a bigger barn. I believe, and I've said it often, young people get hold of it, if anybody ought to have good, solid plans and goals, it ought to be God's people. We ought to be a hard-working people, put God first and family second. So there was nothing wrong with the desire to build down barn, to build a bigger barn. But here was the problem. He had not put God first. He put his barn first. He put his harvest first. And he was like, I have arrived. And I've got an abundance of things. I would that there were more people that were saved and committed to God that had an abundance of goods that needed to build a bigger barn so they could give to the work of God. I would there were more people like that tonight. But the reality is, he wasn't putting God first. And nor is it an excuse that he was given a lot to God's work. It wouldn't be an excuse to miss out on fellowship with God's people. It wouldn't be an excuse to not come to services and say, well, I'm out working so I can support the work of God. Folks, that's not a good excuse. I don't believe God accepts that. I know from time to time it happens. But as a regular pattern of life, the Lord would rather us be in His service with fellowship because it will keep us stronger in the Lord. And I can get so caught up with the things of this life that we can begin to neglect God, and we can even be sacrificing for God while we're doing it. So the problem here was not his riches. The problem was that he was covetous. And he was focused on the things of this life. And it said that God said unto him, he said, thou fool. I remember Brother Larry Abbott saying one time, when God calls someone a fool, they're a fool. Doesn't that sound like Brother Larry? I've never forgotten it when I heard him say that. But it's true. He said, you have all of these plans and you have all of these purposes. And God said, you're a fool. And this is the reason he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And hence the title. He said, then, who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. In other words, you haven't put me first. And when you die, because he told the rich man, he said, I'm coming tonight for your soul. And what good are all your barns going to be? You've neglected the most important thing of all. So who shall these things be? Tonight, I think it's good for us sometimes just to ask ourselves that question. As we're working and laboring as we should. No one get this misunderstood tonight. But as we are working, as we should, I believe the Lord would be pleased for us sometimes just to stop and say, who shall these things be? Is it everything that we do, the Lord wants it to be for His glory? So when it comes time to you see the Lord blessing someone else, let's rejoice with them that rejoice. When it seems like you're struggling and someone else isn't, don't be covetous. The Lord's going to take care of us. He's going to be watchful. And when it comes time, and I may have more to say about this later if the Lord so leads, but there comes a time in all of our lives that you will face division of property in one form or another. And I think it would be good for us in those times to beware of covetousness. Who shall these things be? What's more important tonight? Is it our relationships with each other, or is it the material things of life? What's more important, our walk with God, or maybe that extra little time I can go and get another dollar? So as Jesus said, beware of covetousness, because who shall those things be? Folks, all of this stuff's going to burn up, and the only thing that's going to be left is the memory of the relationship and the influence that we have left in other people in our sphere of influence while we were living. And these things won't last, and then our walk with God. Did we put Him first, or did we have some little idols in our life? My prayer is that we would put God first and worship Him and not ever have the Lord look down and say, you know what, that's become an idol. So let's follow Christ's example and beware of covetousness, because it'll keep us in a safer, closer walk with the Lord.